Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and this week's message is the first video in the Fundamentals of the Christian Faith series. I'm going to do one video a week. It's also going to be my podcast for that week because it's too much research to do too. So I hope that y'all enjoyed this. I thought about this for a while, and I knew I wanted to do some kind of basics for new believers, but I wanted it to be more than that. I wanted to kind of share with you revelation that I've got in different areas that I may have not shared before about different aspects of our faith. Some of the things I'm going to be talking about are, you know, God. How do we know He's God? Salvation, the Word of God, the Christian walk. And we're also going to talk about the enemy, the battles that we're in, the armor, the battlefields, and the weapons. And we're going to talk about prayer. You will hear my dogs barking in the background. I want to apologize. By now, y'all know I have dogs and they bark. So if you are looking for a theological discussion on these issues, this is not it. Okay. You're not going to find that in any of my videos because I'm not a theologian, nor do I pretend to be one. And if you want somebody to argue with, you need to contact one of the Bible colleges and talk to really, really smart people. I'm just trying to put some basic information out there because when I got saved in 1996, I didn't really have anybody to disciple me, and I was traveling all the time, so nobody, it would be pretty hard for someone to disciple me, but there were so many things that I didn't know that were just basic things. I didn't know that when you get saved, you know, you become a target. I didn't know any of this stuff, and it caused me to fall into a lot of Satan's snares, and it caused me to be entangled for years and years longer in snares I was already in. And I think if I had known this information, I might have done a lot better in my walk. So I'm hoping that it will help you do much better in your walk. So this is the first video, and I call it He is God, but it's also going to be talking about why should we believe He is God? Why is He God and not somebody else? Isaiah 45, 5-7 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. There are so many different gods in the world today, aren't there? If you just went looking for, you know, to pick out a god. And believe it or not, there are people who do that. I came across a girl one time on the internet, or I should say young woman, and she was attacking the fact that I had said I used to be a witch, and she wanted to know exactly what acts I had performed. And I thought, that's what difference does that make, you know, and what I believed and whatever. And I sent her a message and I said, I'm not interested in discussing the old me. If you want to know who Jesus is and why my life is different today, I can talk to you all day long. And she never contacted me again. But I saw that she posted or said something in one of her videos. She had decided that Olympia or Olympian was going to be her God. And she started saying praise to him. And I thought, you have got to be kidding me. I mean, there are people out that just go and just pick out a God and decide that's going to be God. If you're listening to this and you don't know God, I promise you that Christians are not just picking out a God. Now, in the age of selfies, you know, a lot of people have decided their face is going to be their God. They're constantly taking pictures of their face. And there are some beautiful people out there, y'all. There are. There are some people that are so pretty. It is, you know, I can kind of see why they'd want to stare in the mirror at their face, but they don't get you very far in life. Your face won't make a very good God. And some people worship the anointing. They worship their careers, their jobs, their portfolios. They worship their families, their sports teams, especially in the fall, their children, their grandchildren. It's easy to make a God out of something that you love. But that doesn't make it a God. It just makes it a God to you. And that's called idolatry, by the way, in the Bible. There's only one real God. Everything else is a God that we make up. Okay, just like the Israelites in the Old Testament of the Bible, that there were people back there that made idols. They made these little statues, and people would use these little statues and say, oh, that's, you know, the God of my this or my that, and they would worship them. And probably they had heard stories from, you know, other towns or other people that said, oh, I prayed to that God and I got this, or he did that, or he, you know, healed my mother-in-law or whatever. And so that's probably part of the reason why they believe. So they made them a God like that too. But those are gods made with hands. Gods made with hands don't last very long. You know, a big storm comes along and those are going to be smashed on the rocks. So how do you know which God is real? Well, even for you unbelievers, I just want to tell you, I quote from the Bible a lot, so you'll get used to that. But the Bible says that we will know people by their fruits, meaning by what is produced by their life. And I believe that you can know gods the same way. How can we know that he is God, meaning the Christian God, the Father God, Abba Father? We call him Abba Father. Abba is the Hebrew word for daddy. And his son Jesus is said to be God. Jesus, who died on the cross to give us a way to be forgiven of our sins, and to the blood of Jesus. If you don't know this, nobody really explained salvation to me in detail where I understood all. It took me a while to figure all this out. But, you know, God created the world. And so since he created the world, he made the rules about how everything was going to work. And he decided early on that the only thing that could make forgiveness for sin was going to be for blood to cover that sin. Okay, and what that was in the old days before Jesus was, that was a model or a kind of a foretelling, the Bible calls them foreshadows. Foreshadow of what was to come in Jesus in the New Testament. The Old Testament is the Old Covenant, which was under the law. You had to keep all the rules, or you had to do all the sacrifices to cover up if you didn't keep them. And in the New Testament, the New Covenant is all you have to do is believe that Jesus is the risen Son of God, and then you get all the benefits of that. Okay. So let's say that you wanted to find out something, the truth of something that was very old. There wasn't anybody around you that, you know, lived in that time thousands of years ago, obviously, but you wanted to know the truth about it. What would you do? How would you find out? How do we find out about things that are very old? We look at history, don't we? Okay. There was an investigative journalist years ago, I believe in the 90s, named Lee Strobel. He's still alive today. And his wife got saved. When they got married, neither one of them was saved. His wife got saved, and it was driving him crazy because, of course, she was telling him about Jesus. And he didn't want to hear about it anymore, so he decided, because he had investigative skills, that he was going to prove that it was all just a myth or a fairy tale. Okay? So he sets out on this journey. It takes him 2 years. 2 years, he collects evidence. I think he went overseas to, you know, I don't know if he went to Rome or Italy, or I mean, not Italy, Rome or Israel, or where all he went or what he looked at. It's probably in his book called The Case for Christ. But at the end of 2 years, he said, okay, I'm going to have to make a decision. So let me see what I've got. He was making all his notes and looking at all of it. And the evidence said that Jesus was real. The evidence, the historical evidence, says that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. I'm fixing to tell you about that, if you don't know about that. So you would look at history, and then you would look at anything in the present that could tell you whether what you were trying to find out about was true or false. Well, that's what he did. He ended up leaving his job. He got saved. He said, okay, he's real. I'm in. He left his job as an investigative journalist, which was his very highly awarded career, from what I understand. He's very good at what he did anyway, and he'd been working in it for years. And he took a huge pay cut to take a position in a church because of his newfound faith. He and his wife have now been married for, I think, 40 years, and they're gloriously happy. He goes around, you know, doing talks and all kinds. He's written, I forget now how many best-selling books. You can find them on Amazon, Lee Strobel. And I think there's probably YouTube videos about him too. There's a movie out, and I cannot remember what the name of it is, but I watched it earlier this year, and it was so good. And it showed the whole thing about, you know, when they were married and And I think he got to help pick out the actor and actress and all that, and they got his approval on him. And he said that the guy that plays him nails it, and the woman that plays his wife really nails, you know, the essence of who she is. So it's really interesting hearing about his story, but especially watching the movie of it. I was really fascinated with that because I've done journalism before, and I've done investigative reporting where you go and you try to find out stuff and you dig for stuff and you talk to people. I've done that before. I know what it entails, and I know how deep you can dig. And I think it's so fascinating that a person who is so rooted in the facts could look at the facts and find out, yeah, he's real. I think that's really cool. There was another guy that I believe was a reporter named Michael Drosnin back in the early or mid-90s. And he was not a believer at all. And he paired up with this guy that was a Jewish mathematician who had discovered the Bible code. And they wrote a book called The Bible Code that they collaborated on. And that is an interesting book. And what that is it takes the Hebrew text, because the Bible was written in Hebrew and a little bit of Aramaic, and then the New Testament was written in Greek. But it takes the letters of the Hebrew Bible, and like it'll take every third letter. There's a computer program, it'll take like every third, every fourth. It's called equidistant, means they're the equal distance away apart from each other. And it searches for words. And if you have not read the Bible code, I read the Bible code in 1996. I was already saved. And I mean, I was saved, sold out saved. And I read that book. If I had not been saved, I would have gotten saved after I read that, because it reveals events, things that there's no way anybody but God could have known. It's shocking and it's amazing. It's really, it's a real confirmation of your faith. Anyways, okay, now, if you're going to look at history, there was an historian around the time, it was a little bit after, I think, Jesus died. There was an historian named Josephus, Flavius Josephus, I believe was his legal name later on. And he wrote some books. He wrote one called The Jewish Antiquities. I think he wrote one called The Jewish Wars. What happened was he got involved in this battle. He was a priest and a Jewish scholar. He was originally named Joseph ben Matthias, or Joseph ben Matthew, I guess it would be. He was born in 33 or 35 AD in there to an aristocratic family. And he died around 100 AD in Rome. Around the age of 19 or 20, he joined the Pharisees. He became a military commander in Galilee in the Jewish revolt against Rome, which was around 67 AD, okay? And the party that he was in, they were about to be, I think there were about 40 of them, roughly, and they hid out in a cave. The Romans were about to overtake them, and they knew that, you know, the Romans were going to capture them, kill them, whatever. And so they all said, we're going to all kill ourselves. They all made a pact to commit suicide, and he or somebody in that group said, why don't we do it this way? Each person, you kill the person next to you. And he was within the last two, and he convinced the other guy that was the last two to not do it, but to surrender. Okay, so the guy that was in charge of Rome then was called Vespasian, or Vespasian. And so he was a prisoner for a couple of years, but when he first was taken in handcuffs, God gave him a prophetic word for that ruler, Vespasian. And he said, basically, you're going to become the emperor of Rome. And so anyway, they threw him in jail. And he was in there for 2 years, and Vespasian became the emperor of Rome. And he remembered that Josephus had prophesied to him. So I guess they let him out, and he said that he would write history books for him. So anyway, he was gathering all the evidence, and he was writing all these books, and he put in one of the books, he wrote, around this time there lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man, for he was one who did surprising deeds and a teacher of such people as accept the truth gladly. He won over many Jews and many of the Greeks. He was the Messiah. When Pilate, upon hearing him accused by men of the highest standing among us, had condemned him to be crucified, those who in the first place came to love him did not give up their affections for him. They didn't desert him when he was condemned. for on the third day he appeared to them restored to life. The prophets of God had prophesied this and countless other marvelous things about him, and the tribe of the Christians named after him have still to this day not died out. So basically, Josephus wrote about the resurrection of Jesus. And I looked that up one time in the Josephus book that I had, and it said, I believe there were over 500 witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. So if 500 people witness something, and especially if it's something that the government of their time, who was very cruel, did not agree with them spreading around, you can bet it's true. Many, many people died in those days for following Christianity. And in the ages after that, many people died. Many people were martyred because different, you know, rulers and popes and different things and kings made it against the law because they wanted everybody to follow their religion. So they made it against the law to follow Jesus. So if you did it, you were killed. I'm going to tell y'all something funny. This one preacher told the story about going to a doctor for some pain in the upper side of his stomach. And in those days, he said he used to eat 6 times a day, an amount for like 3 people. But it turned out his doctor was sick. He went to the doctor's office. His doctor was sick. He stayed home and he had another doctor replacing him. And the replacement doctor's name was Vlad Disciplea. The translation, the Impaler, like Dracula. Vlad the Impaler. He said he turned around and went home and started studying herbal medicine. I just thought that was so cute. The importance of a name. When we name something, we define it, don't we? Remember Adam in Genesis, God brought all the animals before Adam and Adam named them. When he named it, he defined what that animal was. Our God has a name too. There was a time, and there are a lot of names for God in the Bible, for those of you who don't know this. There was a time in 1997, I was a year into my walk, and I was traveling with my job, and I was doing oil and gas work in Morgan City, Louisiana. And I was in the bathroom one morning getting ready to go to work, and I was praying, because I pray like all the time, and I had found one of God's names. It was the one the Jewish people thought that this name was so holy, they wouldn't even say it. But his name, we put vowels in it so we can pronounce it, because the way they write it, you can't pronounce it, but it's Yahweh. And I was praying and I said, Yahweh. And I just, with great love and passion. And all of a sudden, when I said that, and I've never shared this story, y'all. I actually never told this story to anybody. When I said that like that, I could feel flames coming up in my belly, like passionate love flames, just flames. I literally like fire, but not painful fire. It was cool. And I was like, he must like that. Anyway, that I've always remembered that because I connect it with just that one name of God. He has many names. There are, according to one website that I looked at, 956 names and titles of God. How about that? I won't even try to name any of those here, except for that one. The reason that he has so many names and titles, I think, is because it would be impossible to define such a magnificent, powerful God as our God with just one name. You could never limit him to one name. The closest you can get is Jesus, which means to save. So, we can't define him. And every time I study one of his names, I see a different side of him or different facets of him. And that's pretty fun too. It's fun to see who all he is. In researching for this video, I found one website that lists 353 prophecies in the Bible that was written over 2,000 years ago that have been fulfilled. You will not find that in any other book. And by the way, the Bible code, the equidistant thing where you have events that actually happened and names of presidents and different stuff, you won't find that in any other book either. They tried. They ran that same code on War and Peace and didn't come up with anything. And War and Peace is like some huge book. I've never read it, but I've watched the movies, but I've never read the book. That's too long. Jesus is the Word of God. Okay, so he and the Word are the same. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, and in another place it says Jesus was made flesh and walked among us. He was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, I think is how it says it. So Jesus and the Word are the same. I'm telling you the reasons why we know he's God, not some other God. I believe that science actually confirms the Bible's account of how the world came into being. Scientists don't think so, but they're just mistaken. They haven't figured it out. But I'll be talking more about how the Bible confirms science in another video about the Word of God. Nothing to me is more ridiculous than the Big Bang Theory. Are you kidding me? How many times have you blown something up and something miraculously came out of it that was alive? Because I can tell you the number of times I have. Zero. I'm just saying. So, how can you know that he is God and he is the God and he is the only God? How can you know? And by the way, God is three parts. He's God the Father, he's Jesus the Savior, and he is the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit is the comforter that was sent down here. When Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came to be his spirit comforting us while we're on the earth. And any time that you're sad or scared, I had a hemorrhagic stroke back in 2012. And in 2013, I moved to another house. I was living alone. I was terrified. I was so afraid. I was so unable to do so many things I could do before. And my body was healing so slowly, and I was really, really scared. And I remember I would wake up in the wee hours of the morning and just be terrified of what was happening in my life. I wasn't terrified anybody was coming after me. I was scared of what was happening in my life. You know, what if I became unable to even do videos and write books, and that this is what I do? This is my life's work. And I would pray and talk to him. If it happened during the day, I would sit down and start reading in Psalms, because the Psalms, I have a bunch of them highlighted. They're very comforting to me. But I remember on those nights that his spirit would come and comfort me then. And I would feel him there. And then I would be able to go back to sleep very peacefully. But that's the comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Bible talks about that. So how can you know that he is God and he is the only God? That is different for each person. For me, it was when a teenage girl brought me a prophetic message from God, literally. Brought me a message that was straight from him. I had watched her life, and she was a very joyful Christian, and she had, you could look in her eyes and you saw this peace that I didn't have back then, okay, because I wasn't saved. I did not have that peace. And a lot of people drink or do drugs or do other things to try to get peace, but you can never get this peace from any place else but him. And one of the names of Jesus, by the way, is the Prince of Peace. So when I saw her, and, you know, she saw me reading my fortune with a deck of playing cards one time. So I used to be real into the occult. And she walked up to me. It was in my apartment. And she said, "You know that's wrong, right?" And I looked at her and I thought, oh, no, here we go. And actually, I didn't even look up. I just thought, here we go. She's going to lecture me. And I said, "I know that the Bible you believe in says it's wrong, if that's what you mean." She said, "Okay, that's all I wanted to know." And she just bounced off in the living room. She was a friend of my son's. And I remember thinking, wow, no lecture. I didn't get preached at for 30 minutes. I hated being preached at, and I ran from everybody that preached at me. She shared her faith, but in a way that was more like information. And I appreciated that she didn't condemn me. And because she did that, I said a prayer. I think it was that night. I said a prayer, and I said, "Lord, if you're real, show me, and I'll follow you." I just wanted to know if he was real. And I thought, okay, if he's God, he can show me he's real, right? Boy, did he ever show me he was real. So then, like, days after I don't even remember, because I wasn't keeping a journal then. I don't know if it was the next day, a few days. I don't know how long it was. It wasn't very long after that. It was a Sunday afternoon. I was at home with my boyfriend. It was really boring because Western Oklahoma, there's not a lot to do anyways. Nothing was going on. I was pretty bored. She knocks on the door. I go and answer it, and she said, "I've got a message from God for you." I was thinking, what could your God possibly want to say to me? And I thought, well, I was bored anyway. And she turned around and starts going down. I said, "Really?" And she goes, "Yes." And she was very definite about it. And I thought, yeah, this girl's like 15, 16 years old. So she starts going down the stairs, like she didn't want to say it in front of my boyfriend. So I just shut the door, told him I'd be right back, and shut the door, and I followed her down the stairs. She gets down the parking lot, she turns around, and she gives me the message. And I was like, because He answered the prayer I prayed, and nobody knew I prayed that prayer except me. I didn't tell my boyfriend. I didn't tell her. I didn't tell anybody I prayed that prayer. Nobody knew about that prayer but me and God. That was it. Nobody. And so she proceeded to tell me that he said that, you know, I had been set apart for a special work or whatever, and that if I, basically, if I would follow him, if I'd give him my life, that he would pour out all these blessings on me. And I'm standing there the whole time she's saying this, and I'm in shock, because then I realized that God's alive and he's real, and he knew who I was. He knew where I lived, everything, you know. This, the God that I didn't think was real, just proved the whole shebang to me. And I'm, as soon as I came out of my shock, I'm like, yeah, yes. And he showed me in my spirit. I saw a flash vision, and I'd seen visions for years, so that was nothing new for me. He showed me a flash vision. I knew I had the right to say no, and I knew he wouldn't be angry with me if I said no. But I saw a forked road, and I couldn't see where the road of getting saved led, but I saw on the other road that if I said no, that I wasn't going to live very long. I had the feeling I'd live about a week, and that I was going to die in a car accident, literally. So I sold out right there on the spot, sold 120%, gave him my life, and said, my plan's not working all that great. Let's try yours. And it has been an adventure ever since. That was 21 years ago. That was in 1996. It'll be 22 years, I guess. It'll be 22 years this July 28th, I believe. Yeah. It's been quite an adventure. And the walk with God is, it's exciting because there are no limits on him or what he can do. And he's always surprising his children. It's really fun. Because he can do things you couldn't begin to do, no matter what, in your wildest dreams. So, for each person, it is different. How you will know he is God is different. And all you have to do is say, oh, if you're real, let me know you're real. You know, that's all I did. That's all I did. Y'all, I was a 100% 7-day-a-week sinner, okay? And I didn't care who knew it. I just didn't care. I didn't care. I was not concerned with what was sin. I was going to do what I wanted to do. That's all there was to it. I was a whiskey drinking, two-stepping, cigarette smoking chick in Western Oklahoma. I don't know any other way to put it. So God alone knows why you don't believe. He is the only one who knows where the stones of unbelief are that cover up your heart. And he alone can command them to be rolled away. Okay, let me just tell you that. If you have not accepted Jesus, I strongly encourage you to do it, because you are missing out. You're missing out on a lot of things. You're missing out on the peace. You're missing out on the fact that when you don't have something you need, he's able to provide it like that fast if he wants to. And he wants to when you're his child and you're living for him. You're missing out on so many things. I could not begin to name all the benefits. The peace alone would be worth doing it for. I'm talking peace. Peace. Like, you're calm all the time. You're peaceful all the time. You don't have to drink to get it. You don't have to buy drugs. Think of all the money you could save, right? You know? So, I mean, anyway. Sorry, I'm getting off track. Anyway, I invite you to invite him into your heart if you don't know him, because he is fabulous. He is fabulous. You're welcome to email me any questions you have. TexasAuthor@gmail.com is the easiest email to remember. If you have deep theological questions, I suggest you email somebody really smart at one of the Bible colleges. I will not be able to answer those. But otherwise, I will help you out if I can. My website is www.justpraisehim.today, or you can get to it by going to www.wingsofprophecy.com. Thanks for watching. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.